Well, good morning. It really is a pleasure to be here with you today and to be serving you, and a joy to see Ray and Todd and Giff and Anna and either Brian and other friends here. It's wonderful to be with you here and to worship with you. We just heard a lovely song which said to us that it is the kindness of the Lord and the beauty of the Lord that leads us to repentance. And I suppose really that's what I want to speak about this morning. So that was a wonderful introduction to what I want to say. So I will dispense with the introduction this morning because that song serves very well. Could you turn to with me, please, to Luke chapter 19. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 10. Let's hear God's word. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore fig tree to see Jesus, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received Jesus joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Would you pray with me, please? Oh, Heavenly Father, dear Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we pray that you will open your word to us and our hearts to you. For Jesus' sake, amen. Now, there are many beautiful things in this story that we read here, this brief history of Jesus meeting Zacchaeus on this day and going to his home. But above all, I want to draw your attention to the beauty, the loveliness of the way that Jesus meets and spends time with this despised and outcast man. First, I want to think just very quickly about these two who meet each other on this particular day, Zacchaeus and Jesus. What brings about their meeting? Zacchaeus is so eager to see Jesus that he's anxious to, and he can't get through the crowd, so, and he's little, he's vertically challenged, we might say today. So this vertically challenged man runs on ahead and he climbs up into a tree so he can see over the crowd and look at Jesus. We don't know exactly why he was eager to see Jesus. You know, whether he was simply curious what all the fuss was about, this great crowd of people, as Jesus is coming through the city of Jericho. It's possible that Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus healing the blind men on the other side of the city earlier in the day, and so he wants to see who this is. It's possible that he had heard that Jesus was a teacher of God's word who was kind of different from the others. Perhaps he had heard that Jesus was comfortable with tax collectors and sinners. But for whatever reason, and we can ask Zacchaeus one day, it's one of the things I look forward to, is meeting all these people we read these histories of. And saying, give us some more detail. You know, what was it that led you, Zacchaeus, to be eager to see Jesus on that day? But there's Zacchaeus. But Jesus is even more eager to meet Zacchaeus. These two have never met before. They don't know each other. But Jesus is eager to see him. There he is up in his tree, and Jesus knows who he is. He sees into his heart. He knows his name, just as he knows the heart and the identity and the name of every one of us here. Jesus sees right into him, and Jesus is eager to meet him, this despised and outcast and lost man. Because as he says at the end of this passage, that's precisely why he came into the world, to seek and to save the lost. And what Jesus is doing on this particular day is seeking and saving this lost man, Zacchaeus. So that's the first thing we see here. These two particular people. Jesus, very eager to meet Zacchaeus, not in spite of his sin, but because of his sin. Because that's why Jesus came into the world. He came not in spite of the fact that we are sinners, but he came to show mercy and love and grace, because this is our condition, because we are lost and we need to be found, because our lives are trapped in sin, and he desires to come and make us new and forgive us, because we are sick and we need a physician to come and heal us. Jesus calls to Zacchaeus and is eager to meet him because that's his purpose. And of course, that's our purpose in the world as well. We are to reach out to the people around us and to those alongside us in the pews in this church, not enduring their sin, not in spite of their sin, but because this is the love of Christ, to reach us because we are sinners. That's why he shows mercy to us, because we need it. And that's what we all need from each other, of course, as well. Mercy from Christ, and grace from Christ, and love from Christ, and mercy and grace and love from each other. And that's to be our attitude to the world as well. Jesus is for the world, not against it. And he calls us to be for the world and not against it too. Now, the second thing we note in this passage is that Jesus is eager to dignify Zacchaeus. He is eager to receive from Zacchaeus what Zacchaeus can give to him. What do I mean? There is nothing more honoring that Jesus could possibly have done than to invite himself to Zacchaeus' home for a meal. Nothing more honoring, nothing more dignifying. Nothing which showed a deeper respect and love and kindness and favor and grace. Now, they'd never met each other before, so at first sight it looks a little bit kind of presumptuous, rude even, that Jesus would say to somebody he'd never met before, Zacchaeus, come down, I'm going to eat at your house today. If somebody you didn't know came up to you and said that, I'm not sure how glad you would be. If somebody came up to you after church and said, I'm coming to eat with you today and spend the rest of the day in your home. But of course, Jesus isn't being rude, so we need to ask what's going on here. Zacchaeus is a man who cannot possibly invite to his home any elder of the synagogue, any leader of God's people, any teacher of God's word, any rabbi, because they wouldn't have considered accepting the invitation. They despised him. He was unclean to them. Zacchaeus wasn't in a position where he could have invited any godly Jew who thought of himself or herself as someone who loved God's word and loved God and wanted to obey his word. Zacchaeus couldn't invite any such person to his home, and because of that, Jesus invites himself. Again, there's nothing he could possibly have done that would have treated Zacchaeus with more honor than to say to him, Zacchaeus, I want to come and spend the day in your home and eat with you. And so this is what Jesus does. And we see Jesus doing this over and over again in the Gospels. The more despised somebody is, the more sinful they are, the more broken their life is, the more outcast they are, the more likely Jesus is to come to them and ask them to do something for him. He does it with a Samaritan woman. He does it with a prostitute who washes his feet with her tears and wipes them dry with her hair. And he does it on this day for Zacchaeus, inviting himself to Zacchaeus' home. That brings us to a third point. We should notice the reaction of the people. You know, they grumble, they mumble, they moan, they criticize. That's their reaction. They are critical of Jesus and they're critical of Zacchaeus. And this, on this occasion, it's not just the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who are critical of Jesus. It's everybody. They are appalled and scornful. Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Now, why did they dislike Zacchaeus so much? We need to think a little bit about who Zacchaeus was. Zacchaeus, the text tells us, was a tax collector. And not just any tax collector, but a chief tax collector, presumably over the whole district of Jericho and its surrounding area. Now, who were the tax collectors? Well, they didn't work for King Herod and the Jewish authorities. The tax collectors worked for the Romans, the imperial occupying army of Rome. This wasn't like American troops in Iraq trying to bring peace and rebuild a ruined society. Now, the Romans are one of the most brutal powers the world has ever seen. And Zacchaeus is working for them. He's a collaborator with the enemy. We read earlier in Luke's Gospel in chapter 13 of an occasion when some of Pilate's soldiers massacred a group of Galileans and mixed their blood with the offerings they were taking to present to the Lord. They were absolutely brutal. Just a couple of generations before, a generation before, the Roman armies had killed 2 million people in present-day France, in Gaul. That's what they did wherever they went. They were absolutely brutal and ruthless. And Zacchaeus has betrayed his own people by working for the Romans as a tax collector. And that brought a second problem. The tax collectors weren't paid anything by the Roman authorities at all. And that meant when they collected taxes, they collected enough for their own salary. Well, just imagine yourself in a situation where you could choose your own salary and just demand it of people. And they could say nothing about it. They would be compelled to give what you asked. Otherwise, they'd be sent off to prison if they couldn't pay. So Zacchaeus is basically an extortioner. He is demanding money from people for Roman taxes and to line his own pocket. And he has become very rich at this job. That's why the text tells us. It draws very careful attention to him. Behold, this man who was named Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector, and he was very rich. There's only one reason he had become very rich. If he was already very rich, he wouldn't have bothered to be a tax collector. But he'd become rich. And as a chief tax collector, all the people under him would have had to give him bribes to get their jobs. So he's become very wealthy at this job. So people look at him and they despise him, as you would despise some local politician who was constantly lining his own pockets with bribes from companies to have them do business. And if he was at the same time a sympathizer with Osama bin Laden, well, then you can imagine how you would have felt about such a person. That's how they felt about Zacchaeus, and that's why they are criticizing him, and they are criticizing Jesus on this day. But that brings us to a fourth point and a kind of challenging question. What's wrong with the people's reaction? What's wrong with this grumbling and muttering and this criticism of Jesus and of Zacchaeus? Well, it's quite understandable because we'd have all probably reacted in exactly the same way. But what's wrong with it? What's wrong, of course, is that Whenever anybody truly meets Jesus, whenever anyone truly meets God, it's not somebody else's sins they see, it's their own. Anybody who has indeed come face to face with the living God becomes overwhelmed by the mountain of their own sins. And they don't have time to criticize Zacchaeus or Jesus or anybody else. Oh, all of the people on this particular day were reacting just like the Pharisee who's described in the previous chapter, in chapter 18. In the parable Jesus tells, chapter 18, verse 9, Jesus also told this parable to some, and notice his words, who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Whenever you and I treat anybody with contempt, with disdain, whenever we start looking at another person and their failures and sins become very large to us so that we look down on them, we are in effect trusting in our own righteousness in comparison with this other person. And that's what the people are doing on this day. They're thinking, well, you know, we at least are not like him. We wouldn't go to that person's home. Jesus clearly isn't from God. And Zacchaeus is a total rogue. But whenever we despise somebody like this, whenever we are scornful, whenever we're critical, we're seeing their sin and not our own. And it means we haven't met God. And Jesus goes on to speak about this. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed, "Thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners like Zacchaeus, unjust like Zacchaeus, adulterers." Well, I don't know about that for him, but or even like this tax collector here, "I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all I get." You know, that man, and Jesus says, he hadn't met God at all. He was just simply talking about himself. He hadn't actually met God. When we meet the Lord, when we meet Jesus, something very different happens to us. Jesus speaks about this in Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, in the first verses there, when he challenges us not to judge each other. He says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" When I meet the Lord, it is my sins I have to see with this ludicrous image that Jesus uses. If anybody doubts he has a sense of humor, just think about it. You know, a log in your eye. We occasionally get specks of dust in our eyes, but Jesus speaks about a log in your eye. And his point is simply this. When I come before God, my sins are to seem to me like a log in my own eye, and other people's like a speck in theirs. We are going to be taking the Lord's Supper shortly together. And Jesus invites us to his table. And as he invites us to his table to eat with him, he calls us to discern our own sins. You know, Jesus came to die for me. And as we come to the Lord's table, that's what I see. I see my sin that needs to be forgiven, the log that is in my eye. I don't look along the pew and think about the speck in somebody else's eye, or out at the world and the problems in somebody else's life. When we meet Christ, it is our own sin that we are to see. And if we don't see our own sin, we just see other people's, we are going to be eating and drinking judgment on ourselves, just as these people did on that day, when they grumbled and moaned and scorned Jesus and Zacchaeus. And in that story, Jesus tells about that Pharisee who didn't meet God at all. But rather, we are to be like the tax collector who says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's what we've come here today to do, to worship Jesus, to see his beauty, which brings forgiveness to our sins, his love, his mercy, his grace, which has come to seek us out, to find us, and to call us to himself. That brings me to a fifth point. We need to think a little bit more about just what Jesus does. Jesus goes to the home of Zacchaeus to eat with him. Now, this was actually against the law. That's why the people are grumbling. Zacchaeus' profession is unclean as a tax collector. So the people look at Jesus and think he is polluting himself, he is making himself unclean to go to the home of a tax collector like this and to eat with him, a man with such a sinful profession and such a rascally life. Jesus is making himself unclean. In the eyes of everybody who is watching Jesus go off to Zacchaeus' home, Jesus is doing something even worse than going to eat in the home of a Gentile, which was completely against Jewish law. You can think of Peter on a later occasion in Acts chapter 10 when he gets to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, who is a God-fearing man who prays and who gives to the poor. And Peter starts off by saying, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to visit in the home of a Gentile or to eat with him. What Jesus is doing on this day is much, much worse in going to the home of Zacchaeus, a tax collector. And that's why the people are scandalized. But of course, this wasn't God's law at all. God's commandments require mercy. Not all this body of stuff that we build up to say this is what true spirituality means, this is what faithfulness means, you know, I'm going to offer God to these things and those things. That was just human tradition. And Jesus swept it aside as so much rubbish because the Lord desires from us not these sacrifices we think we're offering to him of keeping ourselves pure and separate from the sinners out there. The Lord desires mercy of us because that's his character. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And that's what Jesus has come to show that day. He's come to show Zacchaeus his mercy because that's the character of God. That is the gospel, as that wonderful passage that Todd read for us from Ezekiel. You know, God's passion is to come and to seek and to save the lost, to go out and find those who have wandered and to bring them back. And that's what Jesus is doing on that day. And that's what he's doing on this day. It says in Revelation 3 that Jesus not only wanted to eat with Zacchaeus, but he wants to eat with you and me. He says to us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody open the door, I will come in and sit with him and eat with him, and he with me. And that's what Jesus says to us today as he invites us to his table. I want to sit with you and eat with you and you with me. Yes, I know you're a sinner. I know there are all sorts of wretched failures in your lives and faults, but I love you. I want to be gracious to you. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to become intimate with you. I want to eat with you because that's what eating means. This is biblically the sign of personal intimacy and fellowship. And that's what Jesus is doing with Zacchaeus. He wants intimate fellowship with this wretched man. And he wants intimate fellowship with you and me who have to say to ourselves when we meet him, Lord, deliver me from this body of death, wretched man that I am in my sin. Jesus desires to be intimate with us today and every day of our lives. And that brings me to a final point. This beautiful grace of Jesus, this lovely mercy, this kindness, this favor, as they sang to us earlier, this leads Zacchaeus to repentance. And what beautiful repentance it is. He stands up, which means they're sitting down at the table eating together. This is sometime later in the day. Luke has compressed half a day into these few verses. Zacchaeus stands up sometime during dinner and he says, "Behold, today half of my goods I give to the poor." It's a lot of money he gave away. "And if I've defrauded anything, anybody of anything, I pay them back fourfold." He was doing far more than the law required. The law required if you defrauded somebody, you gave back 20% extra, 120%. But Zacchaeus is choosing to regard his sin in the worst possible light, as outright theft, just straightforward theft. And so he proposes to give back fourfold to anybody he's treated poorly in any kind of way. It's a very beautiful thing. And Jesus says, "Today salvation has come to this house." Now, that's what it looks like. When someone comes to repentance, something beautiful happens. When somebody truly meets Christ, there are these extraordinary transformations of their life. I want to finish by telling you a story about my father-in-law. Now, he was not a wicked tax collector like Zacchaeus. He was a small farmer in central California, and he just died just about 3 months ago. He was 92, and he is now with the Lord, and the Lord is rejoicing to have him there and singing over him, and he is sitting with Christ, having fellowship with him, which is just a beautiful thing. But my dear father-in-law, I'll call him Dad. You know, he was a small farmer with 40 acres of peach trees and nectarines and grapes and kiwis and things like that. And one day when I was in seminary, this was back in the late 60s, it must have been the summer of 1969, we were out in California in the summer, and I was working for him. And one day I was walking through the fields, and I came across my father-in-law. And he was just by himself, and he was kneeling there with a peach in each hand. And he was praying, and he didn't know anybody was watching him or listening to him. This was absolutely private. And he was saying something like this: "Lord, these are your peaches. Lord, these are your trees. This is your orchard. This is your farm. I belong to you. Thank you for your love to me in Jesus Christ. Help me to honor and serve you with everything that I have, because it's yours." And when he'd finished his prayer, which was just extraordinarily moving, of course, to see this, you know, he stood up and then he realized I was there and I'd seen this and I'd heard this. And he was very embarrassed. And I said to him, "Dad, tell me about what you've just been doing." And this is what he said. He said, "You know, I read in the Old Testament that the people of Israel were to offer their first fruits to the Lord as a sign that all they had belonged to him. And so," he said, "anytime any of my trees start bearing their fruit," and these little peach trees in front of which he was kneeling were about 3 years old, and they had their first fruits, three or four huge peaches on each little tree, "he said, every time my trees start having their first fruit, I come and have a little service like this out in the field." It was just between him and the Lord. I had the privilege of, at his memorial service a couple of months ago, telling the story. Even his own sons didn't know it. This was absolutely private. But it had a very profound impact on him, because he really meant this. "Everything I have, you Lord, is yours." You know, my father was not a wealthy man, but he gave away well over half of his income every year, just like Zacchaeus. He didn't let his left hand know what his right hand was doing. He just gave extraordinarily generously. At the memorial service, one person after another — this is a little rural town, a farming community — one person after another, who the family didn't even know, stood up and said these wonderful things that he had done for them, just privately. Gifts he had given, people stood up and said, "He always paid me more than I deserved." Extraordinary things. It was just so beautiful. You know, he was so generous. Even the IRS, they audited him because they couldn't believe that he gave away so much. And he showed me the letter. You know, they sent him, he sent everything in, and they sent a letter back, and it's the only letter of commendation from the IRS I've ever seen. They said, "Mr. Buxman, your bookkeeping is impeccable, but you're not allowed to give away this much." He was giving over the limit, whatever that limit is. Well, he carried on giving over the limit, but he knew in future that he could only put down so much as tax deductible. But they commended him for his honesty, for his integrity, and his extraordinary generosity. And he treated everybody who worked for him with such kindness and such faithfulness. He was so generous to his workers in a setting where so many farmers treat their Mexican labor immigrant workers very poorly. Dad wasn't like that. A few months ago, this Mexican came by who's now a citizen, and he said, and Dad could hardly understand him because he had dementia, but the rest of the family understood. He said, "Mr. Buxman, I've been meaning to come back for 40 years and tell you what a wonderful privilege it was to work for you. Because you paid us better than anybody else. Every summer I made a beeline from Mexico to your farm. And you treated us differently. You treated us with dignity and with honor. You ate with us. And you bought us treats. And you were just so generous. And it transformed my life." Again, at his memorial service, many people said things like this. It was just so beautiful. Now, that's what happens when we really meet Christ. Whether it's my father-in-law or Zacchaeus, we see our own sin so clearly that we say, "Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on me, a sinner." And then he calls us to sweet and beautiful repentance, as he called Zacchaeus and as he called Dad. And he calls you and me today as we come to his table, that we might offer ourselves to him in thanksgiving for his wonderful love to us. Salvation has come to dwell in this church. Salvation has come to dwell in each of our homes. And what beautiful form does it take in your life? Amen. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are so beautiful in your grace and kindness and mercy to us. You come to us just because we are sinners and we need you so desperately. Touch us with your love, we pray. Help us to love you in return. Help us to offer our lives to you and all that we have, so that people may come to our homes, may see our lives, and say, "Salvation dwells in this home. This person has truly met Jesus Christ." Do this, we pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit and by the grace of your Son. We ask in his name. Amen.
Well, in light of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the mercy of God for sinners like us, let us now worship him in confession as we confess together. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But you, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare, O God, those who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent according to your promises declared to mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of your holy name. Father, we do come as individuals and as a body and confess our sin. Father, thank you for your love, your loving kindness, your mercy, your grace. We need it so deeply and desperately, and you give it. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." In him, all our sin, every one of our sins, has been paid for, bought by the blood of Christ. So we come, because the gospel's true. It's given for sinners like us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.